Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
There's something about the season, right? There's something about the change in calendar, the month, that really points us to something. And how cool is that? It's like we're looking forward to something, a day that's going to be coming. And that today actually is the first Sunday in Advent. And it was even this morning that Pope Francis tweeted. Some of you probably never thought I would say those things in a sentence. This morning, and he said, the word Advent means coming. The Lord is coming. This is the root of our hope, the certainty that God's consolation comes to us amidst the troubles of the world. Not a consolation of words, but of his presence among us. And how true is that? This is going to be a great series, Hope in the Holidays. And it's not just because it worked, because it's hope and holidays, but actually the hope, how we live it out. And we're going to dive into that a little bit. But we count down the days to Christmas, hey? We count down the days. We eat chocolates to count down the days for Christmas. Unless you're like me and eat most of them or all of them today. And then you can close them back up and put other things in there, right? Cover your tracks. But we point to, we hope for, and this series is going to be looking at us hoping and waiting for something. And we're going to look through that a little bit throughout this series. And so be expectant and be waiting and hoping for good things. Our stories in this season tend to be memorable. We make great memories, whether it's with family, with friends, with people around you, of this season. There was one particular Christmas, I was a kid, and I have an older brother and an older sister, so the three of us went and bought my parents a painting, much similar to the one on the right there. And I was the youngest, so I just go along, as youngest do. And so when my parents opened it, I mean, I didn't really see the painting before they opened it. I just probably contributed $3 or something like that. But when my parents opened it, I looked at it, and I thought, something's just not right. What does that painting have anything to do with our family? And my older brother and my older sister looked at me and said, "You're the dog." Two kids, a snowman, and a dog, and I found my place on that painting. I also remember a couple years ago, it was time to take down the tree. I was moved out, and my mom had to work, and so the task for taking down the tree was for my uncle to do that while my mom was at work. And so my mom is telling me this story. And so my uncle starts spending a day taking down the tree, and it's taking him quite longer than normal, what he was anticipating, and it was really hurting him. And he was like, "Why are my fingers so hurting? Why are these lights on the tree so tightly? Why are they put on so well?" And so he's there, and my mom came home later, and he's there, and something just wasn't right this year, taking down the tree. His fingers are so raw and hurting. And then my mom looked at the tree, and this was about the time when pre-lit trees were just coming in style. And so we, for the first year, had a pre-lit tree, and my uncle really didn't catch on to that. So he spent his days taking each light, winding around the boughs, taking all the lights off of this pre-lit tree. And my mom just stands here in horror, as now every Christmas to come, we have to put the lights back on the tree. Something just wasn't right. You see, waiting and hoping in this season for us can be full of mixed emotions. We look at the season ahead and looking forward to Christ's birth, but for some of us, maybe something just isn't quite right. Maybe something isn't sitting very well. Maybe it's silent nights, but maybe not because it's peaceful, but because it's lonely. Or maybe all isn't calm and all isn't bright. Maybe you feel like you're the one outside looking in. You're walking out in the cold, looking into the windows of the homes where the family around the nice fireplace are celebrating Christmas and being together, but we feel like we're on the outside looking in. that's probably some of our realities. I know for a number of Christmases, that was my reality. That was what I was going through, whether that was the couple years after my dad passed away, and he loved Christmas, and so that reminded me of what Christmas isn't anymore. Or maybe that was the times where families gathered together, but you know, we don't have any family, Christmas, I don't have any family around this, so sometimes our house feels a little lonely around Christmas time. And so we have to recognize that, and that's what I'm going through. Maybe you can relate to that. That while other people are celebrating of their first Starbucks Christmas drink or the first Christmas carol they hear, or of course that person on your street who's the first to put up Christmas lights in October, that those bring excitement, and they should. But for some of us, they don't. And that's a reality. Maybe you're thinking, I just need more sunshine. These nights are just too long. I'm ready to go to bed at 4:30. Or maybe this is what I remember Christmas to be. Why is Christmas different now than the excitement I felt last year or the years before? So maybe, like I did sometimes, you manufacture excitement. Christmas is good. This is good for other people, so it should be good for me too. I'm just going to suck it up and get through it. But I'd always relate to someone who knows me so well. Faith Hill. Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I find you? I can see her dancing in the snow, singing that. And it relates sometimes. Why can't I find you, Christmas? So we're not going to spend all our morning lamenting about Christmas, like today's Advent theme is grumpiness or something like that. We're not going to spend all morning doing that. However, we do need to recognize the dichotomy of celebration that many of us feel and sadness. And maybe we feel a bit of both. We feel that throughout the year, whether that's with birthdays or anniversaries or whether that's Mother's Day or Father's Day or Black Friday, we feel all these emotions around different times of the year. Maybe we feel like we're the ones taking lights off a pre-lit tree and our fingers hurt and something just isn't quite right. But the cool thing is that this feeling, this waiting and hoping isn't foreign in scriptures. This isn't new to the Bible. Actually, if you look throughout Psalms, you see every emotion played out and written in God's word. We're humans. We need to embrace our humanity. Even Isaiah 40 says this about us who are waiting and hoping. Those who trust or those who wait in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. They point to a God who is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. There was a prophet in the Old Testament. His name was Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was alive he was a prophet maybe in 600 BC, so about 600 or 700 years before Christ's birth. And Jeremiah was a prophet, and he was tasked with being God's spokesman to his generation, to the people of Judah. Now, he loved Judah so much. He loved the people there, but there was this tension where he was supposed to call them on as God is wanting to call them on, but yet the people didn't want to be called on, if that makes any sense. He was caught up in what God was calling people to do and what the leaders didn't want to do. And so there was great political crisis. There were great religious crisis to the point where people actively protested against Jeremiah and what he was saying. Actually, one point in his writings, he says, I curse the day I was born. May no one celebrate the day of my birth. It's like a Shakespeare novel or some sort. I curse the day that I was born. Now, this is from the same person who writes, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. So Jeremiah is kind of in this confusion. He's in this dark place. And so that brings us to chapter 33, which we're going to dive into a little bit this morning. And he starts this chapter while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard. Essentially, he was arrested. He was in jail. He was held up. He was experiencing this darkness. Something just wasn't quite right. The Lord gave him the second message. He was jailed. This wouldn't have been a good Christmas for Jeremiah at that point, experiencing all this tension. And in the midst, in the meantime, he writes this, verse 14. He says, "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. All the great things I have promised them, says the Lord." Are you kidding me? I don't want to hear that right now. I'm jailed up. I'm confined. This is so much crisis happening. What day will come? What good things do you promise us? But no, it wasn't with that attitude. Jeremiah wrote that out of hope, that there's a day coming that's better than now. Just as the sun is rising, the sun is coming. Jeremiah was actually pointing to Christ's birth that would happen hundreds of years later. He was pointing the people to Jesus. That there's good plans which God has promised. They are plans for good and not for disaster, for a future, and for a hope, even if the people didn't fully realize it at that point. Maybe Jeremiah didn't fully realize it at that point as he's caught up in that tension. But there's a hope. The beautiful thing about hope is that it's both a noun and a verb. That it's a noun, we have a hope, someone who gives us hope as a person, place, or thing, a noun, but we also could be hoping for as an action, as a verb. That not only do we hold on to a hope in the future or a person, but we also get to be actively hoping for in the midst of or in the meantime. So what does this fully mean? We get to trust in one who gives us hope, but yet we get to actively hope. We get to be hoping for rather than just sit and twiddle on our thumbs in the meantime. That it's believing that a day actually is indeed coming where God's full promises will be lived out. So how does that realize itself in our life? Well, we actually, in our hoping for, we actually get to name what we're walking through. We actually get to fully realize our current need of God. So when we're sick, we get to feel sick. When we're worried, we get to feel anxious. In our fears, we get to feel afraid. In our sadness, we can feel sad. Merry Christmas. But actually, continually to actively hope means that we don't camp out there. We get to feel sick, but we don't camp out there. We don't set roots there. That is not our destiny. That is not our identity. In our fears, that is not who we are. We don't set down roots in those, but actively hoping is believing for more. That begins to change. We get to name and acknowledge what we're going through. We get to name and acknowledge the darkness. And that's throughout the Bible. They name and acknowledge the darkness. Not ignore it. Not feel like everything is peachy and fine all the time. One of our values here is authenticity. That doesn't mean that we need to fake who we are and what we're going through, but instead we get to actually be real. And if we are going to be real about what we're walking through, we need to be real about who we're walking through it with. That if we're going to name our sadness, if we're going to name what we're dealing with, we also, just like David had said, we need to bring the true name of Jesus, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he is the Son of God, that he is our hope as a noun, but he's also with us as we're hoping for. Hope looks to a destination, a place to be. It looks to a day that will come, but hoping for invites God along the journey. God, I feel sick. I'm praying and hoping for a better day tomorrow. God, I feel lonely and sad. but I'm hoping for, I'm believing for your comfort in the midst of this. We get to be real about both what we're walking through, but also who God is. And this is what Jeremiah was saying, that what they're going through will not last forever, that there is respite to come, there's a day to come, there's a better future ahead, and there's one who will save you. And so that our prayer together, maybe this is your prayer, that God would stir up our hoping, that he would bring to life our hoping, that help us in our unbelief. Heal us, O Lord. Comfort us in our fears. Give us peace when we're anxious. Wrap your arms around me in our sadness. Help us receive and believe for the good things you have promised us. O Lord, would you renew my faith that I might see you in what I'm going through. We have a wonderful lady in our community. Her name is Lee. And I got to talk with Lee last Sunday for a bit. And maybe you know Lee. Maybe you don't. But Lee is a bright light of hope. About 13 or 14 months ago, Lee lost her husband. And she was saying that that was quite a difficult time, as you would imagine. And some of the comfort that she experienced in the midst of that was when she'd come home and her dog would be home. I mean, who doesn't love a dog? Don't raise your hand. But as Lee told me last Sunday, she recently just had to put her dog down. And so you can imagine the long nights, how it feels maybe like something is not quite right at home. But what Lee also continued to share is that how she's walking with a women's grief group and how she's writing and journaling out some of the great things, the rhythms of life of now, but also the rhythms of life of what would have been when her husband was alive, and how processing that is helping her walk through this difficult season. Lee also smiled large as she was actually about to walk past me to go and spend time with the two-year-olds, which she was actually serving this morning, and that how that just brightens her up. She anticipates it, that that light just grows and flourishes her as she gets to serve and be grandma-like to the 2 and 3-year-olds here at Living Waters. You see, what I learned from Lee is that she was very real of what she was experiencing. She wasn't fake about it, and it wasn't just brush it under the carpet as if it doesn't exist. However, she was just as real of the hope that she was experiencing and what she longs to share to be a bright light in a dark world. See, Lee is not defeated by her circumstances, but actually Lee is actively hoping for good weekends ahead with the kids. She's actively hoping for new stages in life. She's actively processing and hoping for God's comfort in the midst of crisis. That's what I learned from Lee, and I think we can learn a lot. Being a glimmer of hope, actually hoping for a day that God has promised. So what about this promise? What day is it to come? Jeremiah continues that in those days and at that time, I will raise up a descendant from King David's line, and he will do what is just and right throughout the land. Other versions say he will make things right. That's so comforting. And in that day, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. You see, while we're actively hoping for, there is a son that will come and actively do what is just and right. That if we are going to name what we're walking through, we also need to get the name of who Jesus is right. Because he is over that. That as Lee was sharing her story and as we walk through, while something isn't just quite right, there are still many things that are very right. And Jesus is walking through. What Jeremiah is pointing to is actually the days we're living now. Jeremiah is pointing to this babe in a manger who will be born and making things right. He was also pointing to Jesus' second coming, where everything would be made right. And we're right in the middle of that. We're smack dab right in the middle of these days, where Christ is making things right. He is actively bringing justice and truth into our world, because full of unfailing love and faithfulness, full of grace and truth, just like scriptures say. He's Emmanuel, God with us, that God no longer can feel far away, but actually with and in among us. You see, Jeremiah is imagining us reading the words, just as Dave shared in communion, from Romans 5, where it says, since we have been made right with God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. That we get to name Jesus, Prince of Peace, Son of God, Everlasting Father. And we actually get to invite him into our everyday. So in the midst of maybe something not just being quite right for you, maybe that's small, maybe that's large, maybe that's significant, what are you hoping for? Name what you're going through and hope for the good things that Christ has for us. Maybe that's something going on in your life. Maybe that's something going on in your heart. Maybe your relationship with God just isn't quite right. The beautiful thing that is that he made the first move. And that's what we recognize in a manger. That you no longer need to feel like you're taking lights off a pre-lit tree. But if you do, we can actively be hoping for the good things that God has promised us. But I think together, collectively, let's hold on to the hope that we have in the future, the one who gives us hope. But let's not forget that in the journey, in among the ups and the downs, that we can actually actively be hoping for. And out of that, just like Lee, we get to be a light into our world. We get to be a light when the nights are dark and long. That to our neighbors, to our family, to the people around us, we actually get to be hope for them because we're resembling hope. Don't fake it. Name what you're going through, but also name the one who walks through with us. Maybe we can stand together and pray. Thank you, Lord, for the good things you give us. That you want to lavish hope on us. But it's not something to just satisfy in a temporary, but Lord, you want to walk with us. You want to walk as we are actively hoping for good things. And Lord, I pray that you would pour your continued love and your grace in every situation. For those who really feel like tonight's going to be a long, dark night alone, God, we pray your comfort. We pray, God, that your light would shine in that space. Lord, we pray that you would bring peace. You pray, God, that we pray that you would ignite the hope. Ignite the actively hoping for. That when something just isn't quite right, oh Lord, that you would make things right. Keep making things right in our world. Keep making things right in our life, oh Lord. We open our hands and receive the good things you give us. We long for them, we need them, and we love you, O Lord. And we agree together and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being here with us this morning. We'll see you next Sunday, or maybe you come to the gift on Friday. We'd love to see you here and invite someone along, so we'll catch you then, if not before. God bless.